Just love the Lord this evening. Do we have any spoken prayer requests on my right side tonight? Sister Susan?
Just along the sickness at work and some changes. And also remember Brandon, he's still looking.
Absolutely. We're going to claim that victory in the Lord's name. Amen. Anyone else on my right side? All righty. Anyone on my left side have a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Don't want to miss anyone. No one in the congregation? No one else? Anyone up on the rostrum?
What was Brother Rowdy? Did he get a text message? Aye, sir. Okay. Yeah. And also, Mother actually requested prayer tonight.
Okay.
When I said, so she said, so just remember her. She requested prayer.
Yes, ma'am.
Y'all remember me and Katie tomorrow? We have to go to Stump Mountain, and I have to do that driving that I would get lost in panic.
Yes, ma'am. Most definitely. Most definitely. And I also have a spoken prayer request for my family. Lord knows exactly what needs to be done. Praise the Lord. Any unspoken prayer requests, just show by the raising of your hand. Lord knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we praise and worship you tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your mighty name. Dear Lord, as we open this service tonight, dear Lord, may we put you first in our thoughts, in all of our process. Lord, may we set aside everything that so heavily weights us down, dear Lord, and just turn our attention completely on you. Lord, may your Holy Ghost have a free will amongst each and every one of us. Lord, may we be just sparked by your love. Dear Lord, may we be encouraged by your compassion and love for each and every one of us, dear Lord. And we thank you for this evening. Dear Lord, for those that aren't able to be with us tonight, dear Lord, whether they're traveling, whether they're working, or just not available, whether they're sick and shut in, dear Lord, we ask that you'll touch each and every one. Lord, may they feel your holy presence, dear Lord. May they know without a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that they're not alone. Dear Lord, we ask you to heal and mend and protect those that aren't with us tonight. And dear Lord, you've heard those spoken prayer requests. Lord, I know you can keep us safe. You guide us through our day, dear Lord. And we know, dear Lord, that you will provide for us, dear Lord. And each and every prayer request that was spoken and those unspoken, dear Lord, we're placing them in your mighty hands. And dear Lord, it's with hope and our faith in you, dear Lord, we're thanking you now for touching each and every one. And dear Lord, we know that you are and that you will. And Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says,
amen,
amen. Amen. Let's give him another hand. Praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 393. When we all get to heaven. Praise the Lord. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. The man. a rejoicing time that'll be. You may be seated if you can. Just praise the Lord tonight. I want to go ahead and prepare to take up our evening offering. Are there any announcements need to go forth tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise God. I do want to mention the food closet, please. I was noticing as I was looking at things. Just don't forget all our ministries, but let's don't forget the food closet. They will restock it. It's been a busy season for them, and it's always a need, a very special need. Don't forget all the other ministries we go forth, our mission groups, the young people as they feed the hungry, and all the other things that we can donate to. So we just love each and every one of you. Well, praise the Lord. Brother Thomas, would you ask?
He said overcomers tomorrow.
Overcomers? I am so sorry, brother. Stand up and give us an update. How's it going? Let's give us an update on that ministry, please.
I'm excited for the new year. Just keep that ministry in your prayers. I know there's a lot of people struggling, always are, things like. And I'm excited for what God's got planned. I know there's something big going to happen. I don't know what or when, but I know it will.
Praise
Amen. God. Amen. Love to hear that. Praising about that ministry too. Keep us always keep us informed. Brother Thomas, again, would you ask?
Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. We ask you to bless each and every one that's made their way out here tonight and give you praise and honor, Lord. Especially bless those who are not able to be here, Lord. Bless this offering now as we take it up, Lord, for the further of my work, Lord. Bless those that have to give, especially those who don't. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Karen, do you have a song for us, please?
This without my little partner. Hopefully she won't mind, but the song's been on my heart today. Sometimes you feel so small and insignificant, and like what you do doesn't matter, and that's just the devil attacking, you know, in our mind and our selfishness. But then the Lord will send like a little sign that just lets you know that he's with you, and you know that we're his vessel, and it doesn't, you take the self out of it so we can serve him. And I'm thankful for all his little reminders, and I'm thankful that he makes me small.
Lord in heaven above, why'd you pick me to love? Why you love me, I can't understand.
There are Glad you found the way.
Amen.
Sister Penny was talking about getting lost. I thank God for his light, and I also thank God for Google. Amen. GPS. Let's do it in F. Y'all gonna sing with me, right? This means yes. That means no. Okay, let's see. 314. I have found the way that leads to a mystic yonder in glory lands. And the good is bright, for Jesus is alive, and I hold his guiding hand. I have found the way. Glory, hallelujah. I have found the way.
God for the way.
Amen. Somebody testify while I get I usually ask my wife to get off. She's coughing. Anybody got a testimony?
Praise God. Amen. Well, glory. Amen. It takes a woman to get things straightened out. That's good. But God is the one that gets the honor in it. Amen. I thank God for that. Sister Karen was talking about feeling small and insignificant. Y'all know there's a silly side to me. Are y'all surprised to hear that? There's a silly side to me. Story has it, and evidently it was told by my granddaddy, and my granddaddy was pretty truthful. He said that he was having a prayer meeting at a house and having testimony service, and one of the sisters got up, and she started that same testimony. I feel so small, so insignificant. I feel like just getting behind that door and just hiding sometimes. The preacher said, "Amen, sister, I feel the same way. I feel like just getting back there with you." Oh, Lord. They say it's a true story. Some of the funniest things happen in church. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, how many brought your Bible? How many brought the Word of God with you? Good. You're going to need them tonight, I think. Amen. If you want to stand, that's fine. We're going to read one verse, and then I'm going to go back and I'm going to read some more up to that particular point. Let's go to Matthew, the 27th chapter. And let's start with verse 46 and work our way back. Can we do that? Matthew 27 and 46. When you get there, say, "Praise the Lord." And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for another opportunity to come into your house to worship. Father, for those who have gathered here tonight, pray, God, that we'll lay aside every problem, every weight tonight, God, and just get our mind and our heart totally upon you to be receptive, God, to what you would have us to hear. God, not only to hear, but also be obedient unto your word. We do remember those who are sick. So many are suffering. So many are afflicted. And Father, we pray, God, that you would minister healing unto their bodies. Touch those in the hospitals, the nursing homes, those that are sick and shut in tonight. God, those who just can't travel, pray, God, that you would just lift them up and encourage them. Father, again, I ask you, Lord, to bless us tonight, God, to keep us safe from harm and danger, God, and lead us and guide us in the way that you'd have us to go. And be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I want you to think about this tonight as I'm reading, and not to overanalyze it, but all of the answers are not going to be in what I'm particularly reading, but I want us to think about it tonight because it's going to have kind of a question and answer session. And don't worry, it's not a test. I don't do tests real well. But tonight, it's seventh sayings that Jesus spoke while on the cross. I didn't realize that there were seven distinct sayings that he mentioned on the cross. But I'm going to go back to Matthew, the 27th chapter, and begin in verse number 27 and read. You know, so many times we read about the actual crucifixion and certainly the pain and the humiliation of all of that and the terrible torture that was, put on Christ. But here's some of the things that was basically leading up to that particular time. Again, in the 27th chapter, beginning with verse number 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth, meaning they also ridiculed and mocked him. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And again, the verse 46, and about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't know if you've ever gotten to a point where you feel like maybe God has forsaken you. But even Christ himself mentioned those words. Now, that's one saying that Jesus voiced on the cross of Calvary after he was nailed to the cross. I was interested and intrigued to find out that there were actually seven things that he did say. We've given you the first one, and that's found in Matthew 27 and 46. There's also an account of it in St. Mark chapter 15 and verse number 34. But if you will recall, that's not the only time those words have been spoken. There's another place in the Bible where those same words are spoken. Does anybody know where that is found? Anybody? I'll give you a hint. It was a man after God's own heart. He was known as a man after God's own heart, spoke those words. He also slew a giant, and he wrote a good bit in the book of Psalms. Anybody found it yet? Chapter 22. Somebody, when you find that, read it if you would. Psalms 22. And 1. 22 and 1. Those were the words of David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? So, again, David felt that way. But Christ, even God robed in flesh, also felt like that God had forsaken him. But then there were some other things that Jesus spoke while on the cross. Does anybody have any idea, or can you remember anything else that Jesus may have said while on the cross? Okay, Luke 23 and 34. Isn't it amazing that one instance he's saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then turns around and prays a prayer for those who committed the crucifixion. That lets me know that his spirit was stronger than his flesh. The flesh was crying out, why hast thou forsaken me? But y'all are exactly right. That's the second thing that he said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's found in Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 34. Anybody else? Okay. Now, who did he speak that to? What does that teach us? How about forgiveness? We just read that both thieves also ridiculed him and mocked him, but one spoke up for him. So, you know, it would have been very easy for Christ to just ignore them and not do anything. But that shows me not only is there a willingness to pray for others that wrongfully and spitefully use you, but also forgive those who've said awful things against us. There's this, even in his death, he was preaching. He was ministering in the things that he said. That was found in Luke 23:43, right? Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It certainly teaches us about forgiveness. I was intrigued because when I first read that about the thieves, I wanted to make sure that it said thieves and not just the one thief, because it said the thieves, plural, it's in verse 44, also which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. The Amplified says, and the robbers who were crucified with him also abused and reproached and made sport of him in the same way. But yet he was able to forgive. Okay, so that's what, three that we've got. Anybody else got another one that Jesus may have spoken? It is finished. That's in John 19 and 30. And that's the very last thing that Jesus said. What was he talking about? Certainly the death, but his mission was finished. It was accomplished. You know, a lot of people read that and say, well, he died. It was finished. But really, his death was the beginning. So his mission was finished. His mission was fulfilled. The reason he came to this earth, amen, for the redemption of our sins and for whole crucifixion and everything, he would say, it's over, it's done, the sin debt is paid. And thank God, out of all the things that Jesus said on that cross, we ought to shout the most about it is finished, because that means that he bought salvation for us through his precious shed blood. So it is finished doesn't really mean it's over. It's just the beginning, amen. It's the beginning of life for us. It's the beginning of redemption. It's beginning of having the blood applied to our sin, amen. Glorious, glorious message that Jesus preached in three words. It is finished. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful message that is, because that's the cross. the crucifixion, and the resurrection, all tied up in three words. It is done. It is completed. How many has ever finished a product and said, man, it is done. It's completed. You don't forget about, or you easily forget about all the sweat and everything, but you've got that thing done. I know I've seen Katie and some of the kids finally get that project done, and, you know, it might be at the last minute, but wow, it's done. Or maybe we've completed something at work. Maybe you've got all the DOT numbers done and everything done, all the tags done, and man, that was tough, but it is done. It is finished. And that was what he said in John 19:30. Okay, was that number four? There's three other sayings that Christ did. I guess I need to mark these up. Okay, did somebody find that? That's in Luke 23:46. Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. What does that say? What does that say to you? It's not the same words, but it's the same in essence and meaning is what he said in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, not my will, but thine be done. I commend my spirit. You know, that spirit goes back. Amen. But you know, also he tells us that that spirit will come back in the way of a comforter too. So it's, in other words, it's that final release. He's saying, you know, not my will, but thine be done. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. So we're down to two more. John 19 and 20, what? 26. What is it?
26.
Yep, that's it. It's St. John 19, 26 and 27. His words are in red. The words that he actually spoke. The writer is telling him. The words that he actually spoke was, woman, behold thy son. And then again, behold thy mother. So he actually spoke those words. So what is he telling there? What instructions is Jesus given there? Pretty much that. Yeah, take care of mama, and mama, you take care of John. You know, this is my beloved disciple, and John, I'm trusting you to take care of my mother. And that's interesting. Even though Jesus had siblings, you remember that? He was one of seven or something, I think. But on the cross, he thought it needful to give instructions to John to take care of his mother. And but again, there's such a bond there. And he also told his mother to, you know, behold, this is thy son. In other words, whatever you need. And I think that that meant not only physical needs, but spiritual needs too. Because John was so close, known as the disciple that lay on his bosom, meant that one that was always right at Jesus, you know. It was a sponge. He was, you know, just gleaning whatever he could from Christ. So that, and Jesus entrusted him. And that's something to entrust somebody that say, hey, you take care of my mother. I'm not going to be here. And I want you to have that bond, even though that I'm not here. Okay, are we down to one? We did that one. That's it. John 19:28, I thirst. And he spoke that on the cross. I thirst. And certainly that's, you know, they gave him the gall and the vinegar and stuff like that. But, you know, that was the body crying out to knowing that the time was very short. And I think, too, not only that he thirsted, his body thirsted, but I think his spirit thirsted that this will be over. You know, customarily, the crucifixion itself did not kill people. It was the suffocation. It was a long and terrible and terrorizing death. And usually at sundown, if they hadn't died, what they would come by, it sounds gross, but they would come by with a club and they would break their shins. They would break their bones so that they could not support themselves. Because what happened, they would get so tired, and when they'd slump down, it would suffocate them. But they would push back up, and even though they were nailed, they would push back up and be able to get their breath. Well, they came and they broke the legs of the thieves, which caused them not to be able to support themselves anymore but to die. But when they came to Jesus, what had happened? Was that prophecy?
Yes.
Absolutely. Everything that was done was prophesied. Everything that was done was a perfect plan of God. There was no accidents whatsoever. And I think sometimes it's good just to go in and analyze those things and read over those and see how remarkable the price that Christ paid for us. So, and two, it's kind of good to just kind of look up some scriptures and all and see that. I knew that he had spoke some of the things, but I didn't realize that was seven different things that he spoke. And even his dying breath, he was ministering. He was ministering, you know. And then again, we think about how young he was. You know, when I was a little boy, I thought 33 was, you know, middle age. But 33 is young, 33 and a half years of age. And what he was able to accomplish. How long was his ministry? Yeah, and why was that? And he came to fulfill the law, not to do away with the law. And the Jewish custom and the Jewish law was you could not be a minister or couldn't preach until you was 30 years old. So in 3.5 years, he was able to do so much and so many miracles, but none greater than what he did on the cross. And we thank God for the turning the water into wine. We thank God for the healing of the blind and the opening of the deaf ears and the healing of the lame and the woman with the issue of blood and all that Christ did. But really, those last three words, it is finished. What he did on the cross of Calvary. And I'm ashamed of myself that we don't relate this even more. It's a wonderful message. It's something that sometimes I think we just take for granted that everybody knows and is familiar with the crucifixion. But, you know, if you ever get to that first thing, and this is what I'm going to try to close with. If you ever get to that first thing that David said in Psalms 22:1, or what Christ said on the cross of Calvary, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Look at what else Jesus said on the cross. Look at what he endured and know that God had not forsaken him, that God had fulfilled him and God had made him the mediator and the propitiation for sin. And it all goes back to John 3:16. You can tie that in. Because the reason God did that was because he loved you and me. He loved us enough to let his son go through all of that humiliation, all of that. You know, here's another thing. When they put him before the Sanhedrin court, and when they brought him in and they mocked him and they stripped him down, all he had to do was say, God, strike him down. Or call down angels from heaven. He could have called them down to deliver him from the cross of Calvary. But if he had done any of that, he would not have been able to say the last thing that he said on the cross. It is finished. If he'd have thrown the cross down and ran back down the hill, he couldn't have said it is finished. Amen. If he'd have struck every one of them with blindness, and God could do that. He did an entire army of that when they came. I remember Elisha, they came and God struck the whole army blind. If he'd have done that and they couldn't see how to even nail him to the cross, he couldn't have said, it is finished. But because he endured it, the shame, and we read about the terrible pain, but also the shame and the humiliation that Christ went through because of us and because of our sin. And it was our sin that, you know, you've heard that so many times. It was our sin that nailed him to the cross. So y'all did really, really good. Y'all got all seven of them. I may do 12 things next time. I don't know. Y'all got them so easy. Lets me know that we got some good Bible readers here. Did you enjoy that?
Amen.
Did you like that? It's just a little something to do a little different, to add a little different spice to it. And, you know, you'll never go wrong reading the Word of God. Amen. Even if you just read it chapter after chapter. Because so many times we get, I guess, in the... caught up in the, and you know, I'm still going to preach, but every once in a while, I think it's just according to the congregation, you know, your elder saint, not elder, but elder in the Lord saints. And sometimes it's just good to open the Word of God and read that. So I guess we'll just, Brother Jim will have to give them all an A because they got all, I got all seven of them. Got a school teacher back there, so they all passed. Everybody passed. Good to have you here tonight. Appreciate you. Love you so very much. Brother Jim, if you would come, dismiss us with a word of prayer tonight. Do remember those who are sick. So good to know that we have the instant prayer request. I've gotten spoiled by that because, you just find it out. And no matter where you are, you can pray. You know, just ask the Lord to touch. So thank God for that ministry that we have too. It's certainly a big help.
Amen. 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 Well, let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I hope again everyone has a remainder of the week just to continue to, just the Lord just to bless and touch and to heal those that are sick and so many sniffles and colds. And now they're talking flu and all that stuff. I know where I am at the office, everybody wipes down stuff as soon as someone moves away. We get a lot of customers coming in. So y'all just take your, just enjoy what the Lord is doing for each and every one of us. All hearts and minds clear? Yes, ma'am. Come on up, please.
I'm sorry. I should have given them.